Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. This week, a conversation with a presidential candidate. Republican Governor of North Dakota, Doug Burgum, came into our studio for a conversation about who he is, why he's running, the big issues he cares about, including energy and China. And we learned a thing or two about North Dakota. Here's our full, unedited conversation. We continue our series with the presidential candidates with Governor Burgum here in studio. Governor, welcome to The Issue Is.
Alex, great to be with you.
Thank you so much for being here. I think for a lot of our viewers here in California, they may not be that familiar with your life story. If you can, in a real concise way, tell us a little bit about you and how you got to this point.
Well, grew up in North Dakota, small town kid. Every job I had growing up, working on the farm, the ranch, working at the grain elevator, even working as a chimney sweep, were all jobs where I took a shower at the end of the day. Had the great fortune after undergrad to get into Stanford Business School, had a chance to work in Chicago, understood what was going on in the big cities, saw my first computer and said, wow, this is going to change the world. Literally bet the farm. My dad, a World War II Navy vet, had passed away when I was a freshman in high school, had a little bit of farm ground, mortgaged that. That became the seed capital for a company, Great Plains Software. 18 years later, we were an overnight success story, built a 2,000-person company, selling product all over the world, got acquired for $1.1 billion, and then that began the rest of a career where I spent several more decades building global software companies.
And, of course, became the governor of North Dakota, although we do have a throwback pick of you from the tech days. And I got to say, your look would fit in well in, like, Silver Lake here in Southern California now. That would be very popular in many parts of town. Yeah. So nicely done with that, the mullet and the stash.
I reject the mullet thing. I just say that's hockey hair in North Dakota. We weren't so cool. We didn't know what a mullet was.
Okay. But that was... Yeah, it's a great look. And I also got to... So you end up doing that. You end up doing politics, and now you want to be the president of the United States. Why the decision to run for president?
Well, the big decision was in 16 when we said, hey, after this incredible success in the private sector, attracting talent, attracting capital, building companies that people said weren't possible, I had a look as a small business person, a large business person, and then as someone who was trying to give back to the communities that I came from, how much the government was getting in the way. And I said, wow, we could use really someone that's got deep private sector experience in technology to go in and drive better solutions. So I have no interest in being a senator or congressman, don't see myself as a politician, but the executive branch, governor, president, those are jobs where you can make a difference in people's lives every day in terms of driving solutions. And we need to drive solutions across the economy, energy, national security. That's what we're doing in North Dakota. That's what we can do for the country.
And when we talk about the economy, one thing you talk about the most of all is energy and maybe modeling what North Dakota is doing for the rest of the country. What would be the number one biggest change that you would make in terms of energy as president?
Well, the first thing is we just have to start selling energy to our friends and allies versus buying it from our enemies. And as you played on the opening clip, you know, we're in a Cold War with China. We're in a cyber war with China every day. We've had four members of the Biden administration travel to China to meet with them this summer. No one talks to them about energy. They're the largest importer. We've got this incredible club, a tool, leverage to use in our relationship in this Cold War, and we're not using it because we're too busy trying to shut down the energy industry in the U.S. And I know that people across this state and across the country care about the environment. We do in North Dakota. We're the only state that said we can get to carbon neutrality by 2030 when we do that by innovation, not regulation. Innovation, the American energy industry, every industry, the industries that I came from, we can innovate our way forward on these solutions.
So for people that are concerned about climate and that opening up is going to hurt the climate, what do you say to them?
Well, I say it's completely backwards, because if we're going to say we're going to switch to all EVs, we're going to take their taxpayer dollars, subsidize 500,000 EV charging stations, subsidize EV cars, those batteries will have been made in China because China's controlling 85% of the rare earth minerals. They're tearing up the planet to get at those minerals. They call them rare earth because it's parts per million. Move 100,000 pounds of earth in the Congo or Indonesia to get enough for one battery for a U.S. car. And then that battery plant in China is being powered by coal because China's opening up more coal plants than we can even shut down. The United States produces the cleanest power in the world. China is the biggest polluter in the world. Us shifting our energy sources to them makes the environment worse. If you care about the environment, you would want to have every ounce of energy produced in the United States.
Well, of course, we do have the Salton Sea and other places here in California that are producing some of those batteries here. In terms of China, though, number one thing you do to China as president?
Well, first of all, we have to have deterrence. Because right now, you know, one of the biggest threats is they've got their eye on Taiwan. And we see what happens when deterrents fail. Putin getting all of Western Europe dependent on his energy is what gave him the green light to move into Ukraine. And in the same thing now, we can't talk about, you know, helping Taiwan in 2027. That just accelerates a Chinese invasion until 2026. And the energy policies, the Biden administration are hurting the environment and actually destabilizing the world, and they're empowering dictators. And we've got to go 180 degrees in the opposite direction.
Let's talk about the state of this race. We see Donald Trump leading by like 40 points in a lot of polls. And so it's clear to shake up the race, there needs to be a radical change, not just a 1 or 2% change, but something dramatic has to happen. How does that happen? What is that radical change? How do you win this thing?
Well, I think it's a little bit, football just got started last night, and a lot of predictions that people said this team or that team might win the Super Bowl. We have sort of the same certainty, and then we see in one play it changes everything last night for Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. But in the same way, there's a lot left in this race before we even get to when the voting starts in January. In the states where the campaigning has started, Iowa and New Hampshire, the former president is in the low 40s. That means that 60% of the people are looking for an alternative. So there is a path forward for an alternative, and we're working hard every day to be that alternative when the voting starts in January.
And one of the ways that you did that was to get on the debate stage for the first debate. There was this deal where you would give people $20 in terms of a gift card if they donated a dollar. It was successful. It led to you being on the debate stage. It's unclear whether you're going to be on the next debate stage. Could there be a new deal coming, or how are you going to get there?
Well, we've met all the donor thresholds, and we've met the in-state polling thresholds. We've come close to meeting them for the national threshold, so we're confident that we're going to be there. But I would say the deal that we offered this summer is how we approach government. We came up with an approach that cost one-fifth or less than what the traditional online political pollster companies wanted to charge in terms of customer acquisition. So any California online startup knows that if you're going to launch and you're an unknown product, you've got to have a promotional product. And we're in a great spot because we're the least well-known candidate, but we've got very high favorables. I'm competing against a group of people that may be well-known but have high unfavorables. With dollars coming in, the support that we're getting, people going to DougBurgum.com, we can move ourselves into the top spot.
A question about the news of the week, the Republicans deciding to move forward with an impeachment inquiry against President Biden. Do you support that?
Well, I support getting to the bottom of the influence peddling. All these accusations that have been made are really serious and substantial charges. That is, if a vice president, you know, selling access to foreign companies, and getting payments coming to other family members to have access to someone in the second highest office in the country at the time. These are super serious charges, and I applaud them for getting to the bottom of these.
Are you worried that this might hurt with independent voters, with moderate Republicans?
Well, I think that there's so much of this race left. I mean, the one thing that I think America understands and could agree on, a supermajority of Americans, is they'd like to see a matchup different than the 2020 matchup in 2024. And, of course, I think competition is great. That's why we're in the race, and that's why we're out there to prevent a great alternative. As George Will said about our campaign, here's the most qualified presidential candidate you've never heard of. We're trying to make sure people hear of us and then agree with George Will.
You know, California is part of your story. You went to Stanford. How did Stanford shape you?
Well, it was incredible. Of course, having the opportunity to come out here to go to graduate school, the friends that I met, and then the timing of coming out at the time that Silicon Valley was just getting started, and all the friends and connections that went on to literally change the world. I mean, the early people in this industry, you know, from Steve Jobs on down, that I had a chance to meet when I was a young entrepreneur, and saying, wow, this gives you the sense of possibility about America. This is why I say innovation, not regulation. This is how American innovation, a lot of it coming out of Silicon Valley, has taken a billion people in the world out of poverty. It's raised the standard of life around the world. And we talk about the best of America, and the best of America is still happening. And as your president, not only do we know we can improve every American life, we can bring out the best of America. This is how you win a Cold War with China, is through innovation.
George Will said people need to get to know you a little bit better. So let's get to know you a little bit better. We know that you're a basketball player. We've got a photo of that from back in the day, too. Look at that that power stance right there. You can relate. We know that you injured your Achilles playing basketball recently, so you feel for Aaron Rodgers, who injured his this week. What's your message to him?
Well, I wish him all the best. I mean, this is in the world of sports, this is one of the most tragic things that can happen. And for those of us from North Dakota, extra sad because the center, the snapper, offensive lineman, Connor McGovern for the Jets, is from Fargo-Shanley High School. So we were, everybody in North Dakota was getting their Jets jersey on to watch these guys go all the way.
All right. Well, we do something on this show called Personal Issues, which is where we do 30 seconds of rapid-fire questions to get to know your favorites a little bit. So here we go. We ready?
Yes.
Who's your favorite basketball team?
Well, I was a Bulls fan through and through after having worked in Chicago for 3 years. I lived through the dark days, and I had an opportunity to go to Michael Jordan's basketball camp when I was an adult. Experience I'll never forget.
Okay, and this is rapid fire. Okay, here we go. Who's your favorite basketball player?
MJ again.
Okay. What's your all-time favorite TV show?
Right now, I'd say Yellowstone.
Makes sense. What's your favorite book of all time?
The Return of Courage.
And what's your favorite movie of all time?
Gallipoli.
And what is that?
It's a story about World War I Australian soldiers making huge sacrifice to help save the save their fellow soldiers.
And who's your role model?
Well, Theodore Roosevelt.
Why is that?
Well, here's a guy that came from a successful family, but he overcame a tremendous amount of grief. His wife and his mother die on the same day in the same household. He comes west to North Dakota, remakes himself as a Western cowboy, and goes on to win the Medal of Honor, only president to have ever done that. And then as president, literally, not only after he transformed himself, he went and transformed the world. In the American century, we all owe him a debt of gratitude, and we're building a presidential library to Theodore Roosevelt in North Dakota at the entrance to the only national park named after an individual, not after a place, Theodore Roosevelt National Park. But he's an inspiration. If I had one person I could have dinner with, it would be with Teddy.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate your willingness to support North Dakota. That is a good governor that we have here as well. Our thanks to Governor Burgum. Also this week, we sat down for an extended conversation with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. at his home. We released that as a separate podcast, in part because it was pretty long, almost a 45-minute conversation. We hope you'll check that out, and we hope you'll also be back with us next week for more of the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. Have a great week.